College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, we're going to get to a number of news and notes from around the world of college basketball later in this podcast and after our chat with Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young. But the story right now in the dog days of May is obviously waiting to find out who stays in the NBA draft and who comes back to college basketball next year. But the story last week was the continued emergence of Penny Hardaway as the head coach of Memphis from a recruiting perspective. The buzz is now officially palpable on Beale Street. Last week, Penny Hardaway landed back-to-back top 100 prospects, Lester Kanonis and also Precious Achiuwa. The American Conference is on an uptick in college basketball. I said that throughout last season. I think the league, even though Mick Cronin went to UCLA and left Cincinnati, has a chance to continue to stay at a high level because of Houston, because of South Florida and Wichita State, two teams off the radar, but return an awful lot from last season. But Memphis right now, thanks to Penny Hardaway, has put together a roster with a talent base of one-and-dones that's comparable to what we've seen the past few years at Duke and Kentucky. And if you look right now at the early starting five projections for Memphis, you're looking at this. Boogie Ellis, a former Duke commit at the one. Lester Kanonis at the two. At the three, it's either going to be Rajon Tucker, the grad transfer from Arkansas Little Rock. He's still involved in the NBA draft process. Or DJ Jeffries, who again was once committed to Kentucky. The aforementioned Precious Achiuwa at the four. And then James Wiseman, the top player in the 2019 class, and the likely, as of now, number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft at the five spot. That is what you're looking at in terms of a starting five for Memphis. Do they have enough experience? Can Penny Hardaway handle the one-and-dones like John Calipari and like Mike Krzyzewski? That's all to be determined. But from talking to people over the years and covering college basketball, whether it was John Calipari, whether it was Josh Pastner, people who coached at Memphis, Memphis was always viewed as a triple-A version of Kentucky. And right now, you have one of college basketball's top brands. It's not a blue blood. It's not Kentucky, UCLA, Carolina, Duke, or Kansas. But it is a strong brand in college basketball, and it's nationally relevant. Memphis will be a top 10 team on my ballot starting next season. And I will reveal that ballot in a couple of weeks when we obviously get clarity as to who's staying and who's going in terms of the NBA draft. So there's a number of uncommitted prospects still available right now. RJ Hampton and Jaden McDaniels at the top of the list. So there's not many more additions from the high school front, but right now, you look at the scenario involving the American Conference and Penny Hardaway, you have a team that's going to be top 10. You have a team talent-wise. I'm not saying they're going to be a team on the level of Kentucky or Duke, but they have a team talent-wise that's comparable to what we've seen the past few years in Lexington and in Durham. And I want to tell college basketball fans this when they see Memphis picked very high. Remember that roster-wise, this is the same type of personnel that we've seen the past couple years at Duke and at Kentucky. Now, Kentucky had a underrated win in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament when they edged Wofford. That Wofford team was coached by Mike Young. He's now the head coach of Virginia Tech. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Mike Young had an unbelievable season last year as the head coach of Wofford, led the Terriers to an NCAA tournament win over Seton Hall, and then left his post for a head coaching job in the ACC, and a newly minted head coach of Virginia Tech makes his inaugural appearance on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Coach, thank you for joining us. How would you describe the last month of your life?
It's been fast and furious. I can assure you that, John, but a lot of fun and thrilled to be at Virginia Tech, and we got a long way to go, but I'm surrounded by great people, and it's a great place, and excited to be there.
Now, you were at the ACC meetings last week, and you've obviously been well-respected for a long time in college basketball. You won a game a couple of years ago against North Carolina. You beat South Carolina recently as well. But what was it like to be in the ACC meetings last week and look around the room and see some of the contemporaries that you're going to coach against?
That was a little different, I got to be honest with you. You know, great people, needless to say, great coaches, and it was a pleasure to be there and look forward to getting to know those guys better. Some I know very well, some not so well, an impressive group of coaches, needless to say.
Now, take us inside how things materialized with Virginia Tech. When did you first get a call from the Hokies and their interest, and then what happened from there?
You know, that was fast, John. You know, I've been a part of several of those. Some I didn't think were a very good fit for me and backed away, and some, you know, that simply didn't work out. But I got a call from Virginia Tech. I think the first time I talked to them was Thursday. I was in Minneapolis at the Final Four, and I talked to Whit Babcock, our athletic director, for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Heard back from him on Friday. We talked a while again. We decided to meet in Spartanburg, actually. So I got out of there Saturday morning, and Whit drove to Spartanburg, and we talked for quite some time. And, you know, it was quick. And, you know, I had very few questions. The questions I had were answered, and you know, Whit certainly had questions for me, and he offered me the job on the way out, and I gladly accepted and went to Blacksburg on Sunday before the final game of the Final Four. Met with our president, Dr. Sands, and you know, press conference on Monday. That's how quick it went, and thankful that everything worked out. I'd always thought that would be a great spot for me, and you know, in the greatest college basketball conference in the world, and again, just thrilled to be in Blacksburg as the head basketball coach at Virginia Tech.
Now, you have deep roots in that area. You know, it's been well documented that you grew up on Virginia Tech basketball, and accepting a job where you're from to coach in the ACC is an easy thing to do. But leaving Wofford is hard. What was it like for you to go through the aspect of saying goodbye to your players and all your colleagues on campus that you developed from so many years on that campus?
That was hard. I mean, that was hard. But the move itself and the decision to do it was not hard. I left behind great friends and great memories, and you know, friendships and memories that aren't going to go away simply because I'm you know, 4 hours up the road. Those will be long lasting, and those relationships with the former players and colleagues aren't going to end. But you know, John, again, I had the opportunity to coach at you know, a school that I think a lot of. I did. My love for ball originated in Blacksburg, in Castle Coliseum, where we're playing our home games. And you know, it worked out, and I am so thankful that that it did. But certainly, you know, I leave behind, you know, a lot of friendships and memories, and I am very proud of what we were able to build and put together, you know, at Wofford.
Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you had an unbelievable season last year at Wofford. You had a really impressive performance in the NCAA tournament against Seton Hall. Was it easier to leave for a higher-level job after winning a game in the NCAA tournament and showing that type of tangible step for your program?
You know what? I think so. I don't think there's any question about it. John, the Southern Conference was as good as it's been, and I've been in that league for a long time. East Tennessee was terrific, as was Furman, Greensboro. There were others that had good teams, and we were lucky enough, fortunate enough to rattle off 21. We won 21 games. We lost zero to advance to yet another NCAA tournament. I think that was our fifth in 10 years, and then to beat a really good Seton Hall team and, go nose-to-nose when you think about it. It's a two-point game under a minute to play against Kentucky in round of 32. It did make it easier, make this move. I could have finished my career there. That's home. But again, Virginia Tech is special, and there were some, not to get into all that, there were very few that I thought were, did not require a great deal of thought. This happened to be one, and, again, I am thrilled that it worked out.
Well, you mentioned the Kentucky game, and regardless of where you're coaching, you've been doing this a long time. You only get so many opportunities to play a program like Kentucky in that type of a setting. And you were awfully close to pulling the upset, and anybody who's followed your team all year knows that that was one of the worst shooting games that your team had last season. I know that you've transitioned in phases of your life since the end of the season, but how much have you reflected on the Kentucky game since it ended?
Some. I think the week before the Final Four, and I had a moment there, and I went back and watched it. And I take nothing away from Kentucky and Coach Calipari, who I have the utmost respect for as a person, a basketball coach. John couldn't have been greater, and they had another, really, really good team, obviously. To go back and see some things that that we didn't handle as well, and to think of consider how close we were, and when it's all said and done, John, my team played their guts out and did everything, but win the basketball game. Fletcher McGee, who's as good a player as I've been around, had a tough day. But I'll tell you what, we're not there without him. That goes without saying. And the thoughts and memories of coaching him and coaching those other two seniors in that particular team will last a lifetime, and I'm proud of that.
You just used the term, played their guts out, and that's what a lot of people said of Virginia Tech the last couple of years under Buzz Williams. You never in sports necessarily want to be the guy who follows the guy, but you're going to be the guy that follows Buzz Williams at Virginia Tech. Why do you look at that as a positive versus a negative?
Well, I applaud Buzz and his staff for what they created. They went to the NCAA tournament in each of the last 3 years, and they did it with really good kids. And they did. They played hard. Well schooled. Didn't beat themselves. Didn't turn it over. Unfortunately, the majority of those really good ones, Justin Robinson, and the others, Ty Outlaw, are graduating. They walk with their class on Friday, but that's part of it, and you know, to watch their team a year ago, having obviously zero idea that something could transpire for me at Virginia Tech. Certainly admired greatly how they played and the season that they had. They were terrific.
No, that was a senior-laden team that was really fun to watch. What are your early impressions of the roster you inherited?
We've got a long way to go, but I do have, you know, I've got a group of people, you know, behind that graduating class that that are hungry and ready to make their mark. Their work habits, you know, in our time together before exams was quite impressive. We'll get them back on Monday or Tuesday of next week for our first session of summer school and, you know, get back to work and putting it all together. We've signed three. We've got a couple more that, you know, we hope to add to next year's roster. So, you know, a group of guys that, you know, played a complementary role that will be thrust into greater roles, and I think they're ready to do it. I look forward to putting it together.
Well, and putting it together obviously would be easier if you had some players return whose status is in flux. Two in particularly who had big roles last year, Wibisabidi and Kerry Blackshear. These are two guys who, you know, like a lot of college kids right now, are exploring their options. What is the status of both Wibisabidi and Kerry Blackshear moving forward for Virginia Tech?
I feel really good about Wabisa. I went to Boston this weekend and sat down with him and his mom. And Emma's a delightful lady. No decisions have been made yet. I do think that is moving in a positive direction. I hope so. He would be very important to us. He's got great leadership skills. He played, he had an important role on with the team last year and did quite well. He had 12 points at home against Duke, I think it was. He's a good basketball player. He's got a level of toughness that I admire, and, you know, he's a point guard and certainly, critical position for any team. You know, as far as Kerry goes, John, we're working through it. Here's the bottom line with Kerry. He's a really good student. He's graduated from Virginia Tech. He had a heck of a career and has done everything possible to give his best effort in the classroom, on the floor, as a citizen, doing that community. Whatever he decides, that will be up to him, and I will applaud him. Whatever he does. Do we want him back? Oh, you betcha. He's terrific, and I would love to have the opportunity to coach him. Those conversations are ongoing. That is still very much, in the air. We'll be supportive of Kerry and want to see him get it right, and I'm sure he will. He's got a wonderful family. They're great people. So, you know, we'll see how it works out.
Well, obviously, whoever is going to be on the floor for you is going to be enhanced by the staff you put together. And one of the things that stuck out, Mike, was the quality of the staff that you assembled when you got the job. You retained Christian Webster. You obviously, in addition to that, were in a situation where you took Antoine Jackson, who was at Cincinnati, did a great job for Mick Cronin. You added Chester Frazier. How excited are you about the prospects of your staff, which really all came from winning programs?
Very. I could not be more excited, could not be more pleased with how that worked out. And, you know, I debt of gratitude to Virginia Tech that made that possible to attract, those three men. And, you know, we've been together about a month now, and I feel better about it today than I felt when I hired them. And I knew when I hired them that when they came on board that we had hit. And, that's such a critical part of your program is the staff that you put together. They're good basketball coaches. We've been on the floor together with our team. They're hard workers. They're exceptional people. And I'm so excited that they're with us, and look forward to working with them as we move along.
Well, and moving along, Mike, is obviously going to mean getting ready for next season. You were obviously billed as one of the top offensive coaches in all of college basketball. Are you planning to start the style of play that you used at Wofford to transition to Virginia Tech, or do you think you'll have to tweak some things because now you're at a power conference level?
Yeah, I think it tweak a little bit, but I am determined, and it might be a watered-down version, in the early going. I am determined to play much the same way. There's some non-negotiables now, John. Shot selection, taking care of the ball. You know, we're typically top 25, top 35 in the country in assist turnover ratio. A team that is going to grind on you defensively. I am convinced that we can play that way at Virginia Tech and in the Atlantic Coast Conference. We'll adjust to personnel. Obviously, that's, coaching 101. But, what you saw with our team a year ago, may not be the full deal. But we'll get to as much of it as we can while adhering to, those things that have always been most important to me. And those are the things that I mentioned, earlier.
Final thing, Mike. You're obviously doing all you can to make sure your roster is as refined as possible entering next season. And next season, you are going to coach in the ACC. With each passing day that gets closer and closer to that kicking off and starting, what are some of the feelings that you're, feeling inside about, matching wits against, some of the top coaches in the game and what is undoubtedly the best conference in the sport?
I'm excited about it. When you consider the incredible coaches in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and to do that night in, night out is exciting. It's also a little scary, to be frank. But we'll be fine. I come from a really good league, and Steve Forbes of East Tennessee's terrific, and there were others. I've been doing it for 17 years as a head coach, and I've coached against a number of guys that I would consider great coaches. Just so happens in the Atlantic Coast Conference, you're butting heads with a great one night in, night out. That will be, different. But I am I'm excited. Can't wait to get going. And you're right, with each passing day. And I, understand that, respectful of that. But we'll be ready to go when that time comes.
Well, Mike, appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are. Best of luck, obviously, finishing up spring recruiting and looking forward to staying connected along the way.
John, thanks for having me on. I wish you well, buddy.
We'd like to thank Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Ryan Rose, and it's, John, what is a realistic goal for Rutgers this season? Rutgers, to me, was an interesting story last year in the Big Ten because obviously they win 7 Big Ten games. You see pretty much everybody of significance coming back this season. I think you look at Rutgers as a team that needs to make the postseason in 2020 to have tangible strides moving forward as a program. What does that mean? I think if you're Rutgers, the goal is to be an NIT caliber team or a team that's obviously on the bubble. They return everybody back of significance. They had a transfer from Texas in Jacob Young, who sat out last year. You have a grad transfer from Stony Brook in Akwazi Eboa, and you also had Paul Mulcahy, a talented high school player that expects to be in the rotation. I think Rutgers right now should aim to be a bubble team and a worst-case scenario postseason NIT team in 2020. And our next question is going to come from Zags Fan 2000, and it's John. What are your thoughts on Gonzaga? Where will you have them ranked in next year's top 25? To me, Gonzaga is a team that, again, is obviously waiting on a number of decisions in the NBA draft process. Petrušev should be back. I think Killian Tilly should be back, though you never know. And obviously, Brandon Clark, you know, we expect and fully anticipate to go to the NBA along with Zach Norvell and Rui Hachimura. Gonzaga is still in the market for a grad transfer point guard, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in our Five Good Nuggets segment, but I think Gonzaga is still maybe a piece away in the backcourt from being really capable of being a top 10 caliber team. But I do know this, from talking to the Stavs a couple of years ago at Texas A&M, they believe that Admon Gilder, the grad transfer who they had from Texas A&M, is capable enough to handle the ball for Gonzaga if he has to. Now, it might be better suited off the ball, but he is capable to handle the ball even if Gonzaga did not add a, obviously, grad point guard. So that is fluid, but I still think with what Gonzaga has up front, especially if you get Tilly and Petrušev back, you have Kispert, you have Gilder, you're looking at a top 10 or 12 team in the country next season. Now, let's get to some Nuggets, sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Five good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, something brewing. I was in Los Angeles last week. I saw UCLA work out last Monday night in Westwood. And it remains to be seen if this group of UCLA players fully embraces Mick Cronin's culture. But I'll say this. The group he inherited in Westwood, even without Jalen Hands, Chris Wilkes, and Moses Brown, has more sheer talent than any roster Mick Cronin had at Cincinnati. Remember, last 3 years, the most wins in college basketball, Villanova, Gonzaga, and Cincinnati. Nugget number two, Red Raiders reloading. It was a big week last week for Texas Tech and Chris Beard. They had a Virginia Tech grad transfer, Chris Clark. They also added Stephen F. Austin grad transfer, TJ Holyfield. You add those two players to the starting lineup. Davide Moretti is back. Deshaun Corpru's back. Obviously, Kyler Edwards and Jamius Ramsey, a talented top 40 freshman. Texas Tech should again be a top two or three team in the Big 12. Nugget number three, transfer update. This is what I was referring to before when talking about Gonzaga. According to a source, USC grad transfer Derek Thornton will visit Gonzaga from May 28th to 30th. He also plans to visit St. John's in June and recently visited Boston College. Thornton, remember, started his career at Duke before transferring to USC. Nugget number four, holiday-funded MSG. A good doubleheader in December at the Jimmy V Classic. Louisville against Texas Tech and UConn against Indiana. And then nugget number five, NBA draft-related. Don't doubt Darius. Several NBA executives have told me that Vanderbilt's Darius Garland is rated fourth on their big board for the 2019 NBA draft, despite only playing a handful of games, five to be exact, due to injury. The 6'2 point guard in those five games shot 58% from the field and 47.8% from three. We'd like to thank Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.